Welcome to the Education Finance Conference Committee. We have a quorum, so we'll start getting going. Sorry, thank you for the room change, and then also for being a little bit late. We just got done with Ways and Means. Members, today we have three articles in front of us, Article 6, Article 9, and Article 1. What we'll do is we'll walk through each article, the sections in each article that we'll be looking at to see if people have questions. And when we hit a section that has an amendment, we'll adopt that amendment and then move on to the next section. And then we'll adopt the article at the end. With that, members, I think what we'll do first is pitch it over to nonpartisan staff to walk through Article 6, Charter Schools.
Madam Chair, members, in your packets are three things. There's the single-page landscape-style map of the sections in front of you proposed for adoption. That's organized in the same manner as the side-by-side bill summary with the article and section number followed by the title of the House section, the comparison column, the Senate section number, the Senate title of the or header for that section or subdivision, and then finally in the far right column, the proposed for adoption that is the wishes of this committee as to which provisions to adopt. There are no amendments listed for Article 6, Madam Chair. So that's what you've got in front of you for Article 6.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions on Article 6? Seeing none, I believe the motion is to adopt sections 1 through 3. Adopt sections 1 through 3, which is the entire article for Article 6, and with the note that the revisers instructed to make technical corrections as necessary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Article 6 is adopted. Next up, we have Article 9.
Madam Chair, members, Article 9 has an amendment included. So in addition to the map of the sections that are listed, there should be in your packets an amendment labeled SCH 5237A31. And when you get to Section 2 on the Senate side, that's where this amendment will apply. Again, the map is organized in the same manner as the map for Article 6.
Members, are there any questions or comments? Nope.
I think we'll go to, did you want to move Amendment 31?
Excuse me. So, yep, let's begin by amending. Those in favor of amendment.
What do you want to talk about, A31?
Okay. I'm looking for it here in my pocket or in my packet. There we are. The A31 is the state school librarian, and we are tasking the Department of Education to retain $130,000 for that library under appropriated from libraries aid under this section for the costs of our state school librarian under the A31. Any questions or comments on this?
Hearing none, no questions or comments. All those in favor say adopting A31, say aye.
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 All those opposed say no. The A31 is adopted. Mr. Strom, can you walk through? I figured that one, we kind of jumped the gun on that, but can we walk through each of the articles really briefly?
Certainly, Madam
Section,
Chair.
Sorry.
Section 1 of the House and the Senate are the same. This is the provision that allows the furniture purchase out of the school food service fund if the district is running an appropriate surplus in its food account. Section 2 is related to the school state school librarian. With the amendment that's in front of you, this funds the provision of the state school librarian starting in fiscal year 26 out of the appropriation for the libraries. You'll see when we get to section 11 with the state agency, the funding for fiscal year 25 will be in the state agency article for that here. Madam Chair, the next three sections have to do with technical change to the way the school nutrition programs are paid. They continue to be paid to the recipients at 100% in the current year. Perhaps the Senate would prefer to describe the remaining provisions of this article.
Yes, who would ever like to describe the remaining provisions?
Madam Chair, members, the row marked Senate Section 3 would require the commissioner to make a report to the legislature annually on how school districts and charter schools use their school library aid. The next row, marked Senate Section 4, is an appropriation to the modification of the fiscal year 2025 school lunch appropriation. This provision was identical in each body except for the effective date. It's the same story about the next row, marked Senate Section 5, school breakfast aid. And both of these food aid programs need to be increased for the additional VPK seats authorized elsewhere in this bill. Finally, Madam Chair, the row marked Senate Section 6 is a revisor instruction directing the revisor to recodify the existing school library aid program out of Chapter 134 and into Chapter 124D.
Thank you. With that, members, any questions on Article 9 or comments? Seeing none, all those in favor of adopting Article 9 as amended and allowing the indicated on the track sheet documents, allowing fiscal staff to as instructed to adjust the appropriations and revisors instructed to make technical corrections as necessary. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed say no.
No.
Article 9 is adopted. With that, members, we are going to walk through Article 1 a little bit slower. We have a few more amendments with that. So with that, we will start with nonpartisan staff.
Madam Chair, these are primarily Senate provisions, so perhaps Mr. Aronson would like to start.
Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Aronson.
Madam Chair and members, the document is two-sided. At the top, it's marked Article 1, General Education Sections Proposed for Adoption. The first row, marked Senate Section 1, is a technical change to prune out some other references to kindergarten pupils with a disability. This was similar in each of the House and the Senate. The effective date was different, and the staff recommendation was to adopt the Senate section. The next row, ALC transportation aid. This was very similar in each body. Staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. The next row, school English learner revenue. Members may recall that both the House and Senate proposed similar language that would have separated the calculation of the English learner cross subsidy aid from the existing school district EL revenue calculation. The staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate approach to this, which is to codify the English learner cross subsidy aid into its own subdivision. There is an amendment that I believe is available to members marked A26. When the Senate originally drafted this proposal, we neglected to include a technical conforming change to the definition of basic skills revenue, which would be necessary if this cross-subsidy aid was to be codified in its own subdivision. So the A26 essentially just adds the new subdivision 5A to the definition of basic skills revenue. And relative to current law, this A26 doesn't change anything.
Members, are there is there any questions on Amendment A26? And thank you, Mr. Anderson, for the explanation of the amendment. Representative Crescia.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Mr. Shum, can you confirm what they said?
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, Representative Kruse, yes.
Trust but stromify.
Stromified, I like that. That is a totally new phrase we're absolutely going to use. With that, members, are there any questions on Amendment 26? Any other questions? Sorry. Seeing none, I move to adopt Amendment 26. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Amendment A 26 is adopted. Go ahead and continue the walkthrough.
Madam Chair, in the row immediately below that, marked Senate Section 4, there's another technical edit indicated in the far right-hand column. Upon review, staff and advice from MMB, staff thought it would be important to indicate that in the new subdivision for cross-subsidy aid, the reference to English learner revenue should be clarified to mean the English learner revenue under subdivision 5. This perhaps is the sort of thing that falls within the technical authority that the chairs have been directing staff with, but I want to call that out for members' attention. Madam Chair, I don't know if you want to
see if there's any questions. Members, are there any questions on this technical provision? Okay, then we'll move on.
Madam Chair, the next row is marked House Section 4, Senate Section 5. This is the UI aid program. Staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. The next row is marked House Section 5, Senate Section 6, Learning Year Pupil Units. This is similar to the earlier provision, just pruning out some additional unnecessary references to kindergarten pupils with a disability. The next row, the local optional equalization row. This, members will recall, this is the row that, this is the provision that increases the strength of the local optional levy equalization to offset additional market value levies attributable to the voluntary pre-kindergarten pupils authorized later in the bill. The provisions were very similar, except for a different effective date, and the staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language here. The next row is the compensatory education revenue modifications. Both the House and Senate bills sought to accomplish very similar ends, which is to do some technical cleanup in that subdivision and to extend the pilot grant amounts beyond fiscal year 2025. And the staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. The next row marked Senate Section 9. No comparable provision in the House, but what this section does is to recodify a definition applicable to the COMPREV program that was stricken in Senate Section 8 and essentially recodified adjacent to other definitions applicable to that program in Senate Section 9. The last row on page 1, statewide compensatory allowance. This was identical in both the House and Senate. It's pruning out redundant and conflicting language. Staff recommendation is to just stay on the Senate side of the page and adopt the Senate language. On the top of page 2, on the reverse side, is the operating capital levy equalization. This is the section that provides the additional operating capital equalization aid necessary to offset levies attributable to additional voluntary pre-kindergarten pupils authorized elsewhere in this bill. The next row, the pupil transportation adjustment. This was very similar in concept in the House and the Senate. The House language directed the commissioner to use a particular fiscal year to calculate this aid. The Senate language was silent on that. And the staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. The next row is a House technical provision correcting an incorrect cross-reference in the statewide average revenue report. Staff recommendation is to adopt the House language here. The next row marked House Section 13, Section 14 is the general education aid appropriation increase necessary to pay for the additional equalization aid and the other aid costs attributable to the additional VPK seats authorized later. So similar in both the House and Senate. The House had an immediate effective date. Staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. The one-room schoolhouse was, again, similar in both bodies, except for the effective date. And as a reminder, this converts that program for the Angle Inlet School from a grant to an aid, and the staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate side of the page. The Wyndham School District one-time supplemental aid, there was conversation about this in conference committee last week. There's no comparable provision in the House, and I understand the conference agreement is to adopt the Senate's proposal here. Basic skills revenue account transfers. This was very similar, again, in the House and Senate, except for the effective date. The Senate effective date would authorize districts to clear their books as soon as possible, and so this staff recommendation is to adopt the Senate language. And the final provisions are House provisions, so perhaps, Madam Chair, I'll turn it over to House staff at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Arneson. Mrs. Schramm.
Madam Chair, the Task Force on English Language Learner in Section 16 of the House bill is the provision Representative Clardy had in the bill. I don't know if you want details about that or if Rep. Clardy would like to spend a moment on that.
Representative Clardy, would you like to speak a little bit to the bill and the amendment, and then we can have discussion?
Yes, thank you. So this bill creates a model where a school district, I'm sorry, the intermediate school districts would, pardon me? I'm getting there. Okay. So it's a model where the intermediate school districts are doing an on-site, I'm sorry, I'm not thinking, but an on-site, what is the word I'm looking for? Basically a on-site training program where people that are working within the school are able to achieve a licensure with Mankato.
Oh, it's the EL Task Force.
Okay, let's start over. I'm going to just refer this one to the to Tim Strom.
Madam Chair, members, the English Learner Task Force is has its duties outlined in the section there. The membership is appointed. And the task force takes a look at how English, with the substantial increase in English language learner funding from last year, on how the services are being delivered, what kinds of support should be there outside of the language services itself, and how in community engagement should work. So these are essentially the issues that the task force is looking at. There is the amendment in your packet, the A49 amendment, that pushes back the dates by a month each. And so perhaps, Madam Chair, you'd like to have the amendment in front of you, and I'd be happy to explain that amendment.
Yes, thank you, folks. I'll move the A49 in front of us.
Madam Chair, the A49 amendment just affects the dates after discussions with MDE and others, pushes back the initial appointment of the task force, and then pushes back the dates that the reports would come in. They'd still be in time for the 2025 budget session, but essentially they'd be delaying the report by a month so that the task force would have more time to finish its work.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions on the A49 amendment? Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Strom. Madam Chair, I, after looking at the amendment and, of course, hearing this in committee, I would support both the amendment and the task force language as agreed upon. So just want to thank Representative Clardy. I think these are good provisions.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. You took the words right out of my mouth. So I'm glad, really thankful for Representative Clardy's work on this and look forward to hearing the task force's thoughts after they get completed. With that, members, all those in favor for the A49 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no. The A49 amendment is adopted. Mr. Strom, go ahead.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members, apologies, I had my amendments out of order. The next two provisions relate to the student attendance pilot program. The amendment that accompanies this is the A56 amendment. And if you'd like to put that amendment in front of the committee, I'd be happy to walk through the changes that are included in that amendment.
Yes, I'll move the A56 amendment before us. Oh, sorry. We're going to have Representative Sensenmura move the amendment and then also talk about it after you speak, walk through it. Representative Sensenmura.
Thank you.
Withdraw my motion. Representative Sensenmura.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So this is the attendance pilot program. We are using the kind of more of the model that the House had around a pilot program, a demonstration project with certain school districts. I do believe that we have added three school districts from the House provision, and that has adjusted the amount a bit.
Thank you. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, those three districts that were added are the Sauk Rapids Rice School District, which is on line 1.9, the County School District on line 1.12, and the Rochester School District on line 1.15. The other change in the amendment has to do with the support the department's going to provide for the pilot program. And if you look at the amendment on line 3.1, you'll see that there's an appropriation totaling $330,000. The department would use that money both to administer the grant and to support the pilot project, but it would also use the money on its statewide efforts regarding student attendance data analysis and the use of student attendance data.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, one other issue in the amendment that was not there before. If one of the 12 school districts were to drop out of the out of the program before its completion, there is authority for the commissioner to recapture funds proportionate to the amount of time that district is no longer participating in the pilot program.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Members, are there any questions or comments? Senator Erin McQuaid.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I love all of the school districts here. I'm just wondering if there was, did these school districts ask to participate, or do they have particularly good ideas? I'm just wondering a little bit more about that, and I do love this bill.
Representative Senator Perot.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair and Senator McQuaid. So we looked at a few kind of different data points for this. I think one is that we tried to have regional diversity in this, and then we also, you know, looked at the attendance data across our state about what were the percentages of consistent attendance. So those are students that are missing 10 days or more a year. And so from there, we tried to identify kind of districts with, you know, different regions that, you know, were struggling with attendance and that also had kind of different student populations.
Senator McQuaid, a follow-up? Thank you, Representative Mura. Senator Mura, are there any other questions before I go? Senator Gustafson.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. Question just about, I don't see a lot of metro suburbs on here. Is there any plan to expand those in future pilot programs? I know that we suffer from this problem just as much as anyone.
Senator Gustafson, thank you for asking that question. As Representative Sensenmura said, when we looked at this, we looked at it regionally. So there are two suburban districts and urban district, and then we spread across the region, so we hit each of the other regions in rural Minnesota. We have limited funds to start this as that pilot project. My hope is between this and the task force, the data we're collecting, the data MDE is going to be analyzing, will start showing trends that we can implement as soon as next budget year, and then going forward with what recommendations the task force. So each year, at the end of this year, calendar year, there's the first report due about what the districts are starting to look at with the money. The end of the school year, coming school year, is a report, as well as each of the end of each school years, and then a final report. So as things move along, hopefully we'll be getting more data so that we can keep building on this program. Senator Gustafson, follow up.
Yes, thank you. Yep, I agree with all of that. I understand. I don't see a lot on the eastern side of the state, but I will look forward to future debates. Thanks.
Thank you. Any further comments or questions? Representative Sensenmura, and then I'll go to Representative Kreisha if you'd like, and then Chair Kunesh.
It's fine.
Oh, and Senator Rose.
I mean, I can say it publicly if you want.
Okay, Chair Kunesh.
Well, I'm really excited about this. I think we've seen it in the papers, in the media, in our discussions with superintendents and principals, that attendance has dropped into a really a level of grave concern. And so when the House brought this to us, I was really, really excited about it. And they did leave space for us to add a few extra districts. And I think adding Sauk Rapids Rice, which is a small but mighty district, kind of nestled in a unique area that's just north of St. Cloud and across from Sartell, but still very agricultural, that this is going to show us a really unique space in their region. We also looked at on the east. You mentioned something about the east side of the state. I should show you my self-drawn map of all these sites. We looked at a couple of different school districts and asked for Cook County because they have a really unique population. It's a small district, but they have Native American population. They have kids of color there, as well as the local BIPOC communities. But I think one of the issues that we kind of found out about them is that transportation is a huge issue for them. Some of those kids end up having to be on buses or transported 45 minutes a day, one way. So, you know, that's an hour and a half, and consider that they're way up north, that the weather is going to have a big effect on that, how we can make sure that they have those opportunities. I mean, if a kid misses the bus, they're kind of SOL. So, I'm really excited about this program, and I really look forward to seeing what the facts are across the state and how we can begin to assist those communities to address the absenteeism. So thank you for bringing this forward. This is going to be fun.
Representative Krishna.
Thank you. And thank you, Senator. Just a quick clarification. You mentioned Sauk Rapids Rice as a small – Sauk Rapids Rice has 1,400 kids in their high school. Yeah. A small district is a district that has 800 kids K through 12. So I wasn't going to jump in. The senator talked about the suburban schools as well. But let's make sure that we actually understand our spectrum of schools. This is the fastest growing school district in this region. So.
Thank you, Representative Kusha. That's why I'm thankful that the Senate brought it in. And I realized, Senator McQuaid's, there was one question I don't think of yours that didn't quite get answered. For the provisions that, for the school districts that the House brought into this bill, we actually got confirmation from all their superintendents before we even brought it to the floor. So, and I know that the Senate is working hard with these other three districts to make sure everybody's on board too. We also wanted to make sure that the districts had the capacity to actually take this money and hit the ground running. Besides looking at their attendance data as well as location, we worked with local cooperatives around the region too to say, like, which one of your districts do you think this would be the best fit for this? So banking out a lot of great data out of this. With that, I think we've already adopted the amendment for this section, so we'll move on to sorry, Senator Swedenski. How could I actually miss you ever? There you go.
I was late to the game. Thank you. Again, I appreciate what everybody said. I'm a little dismayed at the lack of suburban school districts, but I do appreciate some of the wisdom that's been bestowed upon us in the last 5 or 10 minutes of what the logic was in that. And I too am looking forward to, you know, the data. I can't believe I'm saying that out loud, that I'm looking forward to data. But I think it's pretty obvious in my world, in my head, of why kids aren't going to school these days. And I'm looking forward to seeing if what I believe. I think they've started to wonder what the point of their schooling is. And I came up with this phrase about a couple weeks ago called pointillism, which is an art technique But I'm going to start applying it to our kids, and they starting to wonder what's the point of me going to school. And we, that's a huge issue for our society, not just in the state of Minnesota, but maybe even perhaps globally, and we'll get it right. We always do. But so I'm looking forward to seeing what the school districts are saying, why their absentee rates are skyrocketing. But I hope we don't forget to ask the teachers and the kids as well, and not just hear from administrators that have pored over some data that they've collected. And anyways, thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Swedenski. And part of the language within the pilot project is just that connecting with, they have to connect with the parents and the students too to figure this all out. So you bring up some very good points about our education system needing to be, in the eyes of our students, relevant to what they need to learn for the future. So thank you. And I don't want to cut this off because this is a great conversation. So I want to make sure I'm actually looking around the room and seeing if anybody else wants to add any thoughts or comments. Seeing none, we'll move on to that. Oh, we have not adopted. Thank you. See, this is why you need more brains than just yourself. So, members, we have the A56 in front of us. All those in favor of the A56 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. The A56 amendment is adopted, and now we can move on to the next section.
Madam Chair, the next section is the appropriations section, and there's an amendment in your packet that Ms. Hofer could speak to.
Ms. Hofer, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. The amendment in your packet is labeled the SCH 5237A36 amendment. And so this amendment amends the provision on page R19, the Minnesota Alliance with Youth Appropriation. It amends the House language to align it with the Senate language, and this is done because the Senate's appropriation for the Minnesota Alliance with Youth is in Article 2 of the bill, and the intent of the committee was to put this in Article 1 at the Senate amounts and with the Senate language.
Are there any questions on the A36 amendment with the appropriations? Representative Kreisha.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And so we're not changing the percentage amount. We're just changing where it's located in the bill. Is that correct? Was the Senate 3% as well?
Madam Chair and Representative Kreisha, that is correct. So it would be the Senate's language just in place of the House's. So the department would still retain the 3% of the appropriation for admin.
Representative Kreisha.
Are we still negotiating? I'd start at 1% and then we can settle at 1.5%.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. With what was passed last year, I know, but I just want to explain to folks so they understand. For what was passed last year and the state government bill, agencies are able to retain 5% for a direct appropriation and 10% for a competitive grant. So we've been trying to be very careful and judicious as we walk through this to see what that would look like within the process and if we needed to lower the percentage. So thank you, Representative Kreisha.
I don't think I voted for that either.
Senator Murrow, would you like to move the A36? Representative Senator Murrow, would you like to move the A36 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, so moved.
Would you like to discuss it?
Yeah, so both the House and the Senate heard the Minnesota Promise Fellows bill. This is a AmeriCorps program that places mentors in the school to support students that are specifically struggling around academic achievement and attendance. We are taking the Senate amount for the appropriation, but I do believe that you know there will be hopefully in future budget years ongoing discussion about funding this important program.
Thank you, Representative Sensenmaier. Are there any further questions on the amendment?
Are we going to speak to the after we adopt it? Are we going to speak to the provision?
Yes.
Okay.
Representative Sensenmaier, move the A36 amendment. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, say no. The A36 is adopted. Representative Kreisha, to the provision.
Thank you. And I just wanted to speak in support of this as well. I've seen the work that these folks do through the AmeriCorps and just wanted to speak in favor of it.
Thank you, Representative Kreisha. With that, members, I think we briefly skipped over provision section 18, if we want to quick go over that before we go to final comments on Article 1. Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, this is the task force that accompanies the student attendance and truancy efforts. This is on page, let me just get my, R16 of the side-by-side language. The members of the task force are specified. It's done as a legislative study group, so it'll be under the auspices of the LCC. Four House and four Senate members will be appointed to the task force, and they're going to evaluate ways to increase student attendance and to look at the truancy issues in front of them. The task force is on a relatively quick timeline, as are some others, with the hope that a final report is to available to the legislature by the end of this year. The Department of Education will provide administrative support for the group. The LCC will provide the technical assistance for the meetings and that kind of thing. So, Madam Chair, perhaps the committee members want to speak to the role of the task force in terms of their duties. This provision had a fair amount of conversation in the House as part of the truancy package that's before you.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. And I just wanted to thank, this is a great example of working across the aisle. Representative Keeler and Representative Bakeberg worked together to put this task force together to make sure that we're having a legislative look at the attendance pilot project as well, and having MDE be able to provide some of that data that they'll be looking at, and your ability to reach out and ask questions of maybe some of the pilot program participants and other areas they want to find out, national trend lines and things that are working and not working in other states. So it's going to be a robust task force, and I know Representative Keeler and Representative Bakeberg are very, very excited for it. Representative Krishan.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to echo that as well. One of the things that's most exciting to me is not that this is in place today, but what we're going to see in the future. Having a couple of these folks from different walks of life and perspectives and different sides of the aisle, I think that we will see a robust solution that will really be interesting to watch as it moves through. So these are one of those things that you look forward in the future and go, okay, I can't wait to see what the product will be. So thank you for including it.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions on this section? All right, members, I think we've adopted all the amendments for Article 1. I want to open it up for questions or thoughts on the entire article. It's our longer general education one. It's really quiet this morning.
Give us just a second. Oh.
I'll give everybody a chance to page through. I am seeing no comments. Chair Kunish, did you want to mention anything about general education, the general education article?
I just feel like we have really put together an incredible small but mighty omnibus here, and especially when it comes to general education. It's been a really great session this year, listening to the bills and the issues and the comments that our community or that our members have brought to us. And I'm excited to get these things implemented into the schools and see what we can do to build on what we did last year and build on for the next year and a bit of time from now on in the next coming year. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair Kunish. I don't think I could have said it any better. We did a lot with the little money that we had, especially in this area, and look forward to the task force's results as well as the pilot project. With that, members, we'll move to adopt Article 1 as amended, with the sections indicated on the tracking documents and with fiscal staff instructed to adjust appropriations and revisers instructed to make technical corrections if necessary. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Article 1 is adopted. All right, members. So moving forward, we will be, the Senate will have the gavel tomorrow, but we're recessing for today because we don't know if anything else will come up. Chances are we will not be coming back, but just kind of keep an eye on your email. I know each body has long floor sessions ahead, so we just wanted to leave it open just in case there's some more work we can get done together. And we are in recess.